we had a looming large deficit, but I knew that there were things that we could do to clarify that, and that we had a lot of good staff and elected officials, and that we would get that trimmed down, and we would be able to have a workable budget.
Let's talk about that turnaround and the components responsible, like lower fuel prices, that's working into it. Certainly more revenue from the sales tax that was approved by both communities. What are all the components that are responsible for erasing the $7.5 million structural deficit?
Sure. Well, I think one that you mentioned was really great. Fuel was 24% less cost. That's a great deduction. We also have trimmed costs in terms of some personnel and some utilities, some insurance costs. But there's been some across the board cuts. Fuel is a big one, but that in itself probably wouldn't have erased the whole deficit.
What about the credit due to city staff for cuts and belt tightening?
Well, everybody is working very hard on that, and there haven't been any big increases anywhere, and a number of positions have been gone vacant and not been refilled.
Is that leading to any difficulty, though, in actually, overtaxing the workers that are left?
Well, what we do is we make sure that the city council knows that when we get new projects to do, that means that something might not get done or might get pushed to the back burner. But some of the things which are very important have been funded. For example, the rental inspection program. We only had one inspector, and we were very much behind in that. For example, daycare centers and senior centers, the ordinance requires that they be inspected every year, and we were only getting to inspect them every 3 years. So we're not following our own requirements because of a lack of personnel. So,
and that was really a pay-as-you-go effort, because the inspectors being funded by increased fees for those inspections.
Well, part of them are. Part of it being done by increased fees, but part of it is funded out of the general fund. The Department of Community Development is not funded completely by fees. It's underfunded in a large number of ways. But what the council did do is it did pass an increase to the rental fees, rental inspection fees, and so that paid for an additional inspector, so we can double up on the amount of inspections we've done. So those are things that were problematical in the past in terms of the budget, and we were just doing without. Now that the budget is a little healthier, we can do some of those things we're really supposed to be doing.
The budget task force spent a chunk of last summer and fall working through revenue and cuts. Areas to examine were the city's three golf courses, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, solid waste, trying to recover costs on needed police protection for downtown Bloomington. Where do all of those stand now that the budget is essentially balanced?
Well, all of those things are still being looked at. In fact, the golf is going to be looked at here again in this coming week, and answering some questions about that as to whether it might be more beneficial to task out, contract out some of those services or not. So that is still up in the air, but it is being looked at.
What does experience tell you about privatizing golf courses or finding an outside management firm to manage a golf course? Is a municipality actually able to realize savings from that kind of move?
Well, there are two problems with that, and it's a balance. One of the things is you can privatize that and get less expenses in operating costs, because the private developer will just cut his costs down to make sure that he stays within his budget. One of the problems, though, is that it kind of drives the golf course into the ground, because improvements and maintenance generally suffer because of that. There will be two stories to that, and they will tell you either way, but I think it's up to us to get those proposals out and take a look at it, and we'll do an analysis of it all.
Mayor Renner has told us on Sound Ideas that he thinks the city is probably just heavy by one golf course. What do you think of that statement?
Well, we have three golf courses, and the golfers will tell you that one of the great things about the city of Bloomington is that it is rated very, very highly by Golf Digest as one of the great golf cities in the country. You have three golf courses, which are all very different. So if they were all the same, you might be heavy in one. But I would suggest that there are three different kinds of golf courses, kind of beginning, intermediate, and experienced golf courses. So it gives you that facility that you don't have anywhere else. I would think that we would want to get all those numbers out and show them to the city council and let them all take a look at it. And I think then we'll be able to make a good decision and see if that hypothesis is then supported by the evidence.
We'll talk about solid waste in a moment. Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, that's still being looked at?
Yes, that is. I don't have that on the on our list of things to do to look at now, but we did look at that and we are still continuing to look at it.
And what's commonly known as the police buyback, that's the additional police protection for the downtown Bloomington bar area.
Yeah, and that one is one that we are actively pursuing right now. Unfortunately, it doesn't amount to a great deal of money. The higher back amounts to somewhere between $100,000 and $130,000. So even if you were to get it, it doesn't make a lot of difference in a $200 million budget. But, you know, $100,000 is $100,000, and we're looking at ways to do that. At first, it might seem that that's kind of the low-hanging fruit. That's pretty easy. Get the downtown bars to pay for those police officers that provide the protection down there. But of course, then when you talk to the people who actually have to pay that, then not only do you get a lot of pushback, but there's a lot of good reasons why they can't fund that all on their own. So we're still examining that actively, and there are maybe three good options. One is the downtown bar owners. One is to spread that around the whole town. And another thing I know that we were looking at was the possibility of raising liquor licenses, which haven't been raised in many years.
What do you tell budget hawks in the community, some of whom you hear from every 2 weeks during meetings, during public comments, about this budget that looks like a tax increase and increased spending without the cuts? I know you're looking at these cuts, but those cuts aren't in there, are they? You know, for the golf courses or for the buyback. Those are things you're working toward. Will they be done by the time the council votes on the budget?
Well, I don't know. We're going to have a budget workshop with the city council on the 12th, Saturday, the 12th of March, and we will look at all of these. It certainly is very difficult when you take each one of these things that could be cut, and then you bring all of the people in that are advocates for these things, and then it becomes much more difficult to look at them to cut. So it's some very difficult choices the city council has to make.
Steve Rasmussen is the assistant city manager for the city of Bloomington. I'm Mike McCurdy. You're listening to Sound Ideas. You've worked closely on the city's solid waste dilemma, a dilemma because it's supposed to be a fund that pays for itself, and it doesn't. It's an enterprise fund. The city has to subsidize it. It looks as though staff had solved the bulky waste part of this picture, but then that was tabled after concern that two free buckets, which apparently was a last-minute addition, would be difficult to administer. Where did the two-bucket things come from, and would two buckets be difficult to administer?
Well, our position is that the city council tells us what they want, and we'll do that. And if we find that it can't be done, we'll come back and tell them that it can't be done for whatever reason. But if we wanted to do the two free buckets free, we could certainly find ways to do that. We currently administer it where we have the first bucket free, and then each bucket after that costs $25. So I do not think it would be impossible for us to do it. When it comes to administration, it's not nearly as complicated an issue as having three different size of carts and allowing people to use the different carts that they want. That really is difficult, and I think we could work in the cost of doing two free buckets if that's what the council would like to do.
Is there a simpler way forward here, like just a flat fee and all the garbage is picked up, all the bulky waste is picked up, all the brush is picked up, and residents just pay one fee.
Sure, and we've presented that option to the city council, and I think those different that different data is a matter of public record. It'd be easy to find. It would cost about $28 per cart if you charged every person the same fee, and that would pay for all of that, and there'd be no deficit.
Unless you decided to change it and make it not an enterprise fund. If the
yes.
city decided to actually subsidize this, there is some disagreement over whether this should be or shouldn't be a core city service, but if you were to lower that, then the city would have to make up the difference.
That's right. It really is a philosophical question that the public will have to come to a conclusion with, and the city council will have to make a decision. You could do that. For example, you could say that you would charge a flat fee of $24, and then the difference would be made up by the general fund as just a subsidy. Right now, the numbers are kind of like this. It's pretty easy to write down, and that is that. Right now, we collect about $5.5 million from our cart fees. Trash and recycling costs about $4.5 million. So your money ahead there. But the problem is, brush and bulk cost about $3.5 million. So it costs us $8 million to run a service, out of which we get about $5.5 million. And so we're short because of this service of picking up bulk and brush. Many cities contract this out to a provider, and a provider would be happy to do this. They would get the $5.5 million and provide $4.5 million worth of service. But they wouldn't do the bulk and brush pickup. That's a great service that we provide, and many people would like us to continue with that, and if the council would like us to do that, that's just fine. It's just that we either have to figure out a way to pay for that, or what we have to do is decide just philosophically that that's going to be something we're going to take out of tax dollars, and we take it out of tax dollars. It's really a question of what they would like to do.
And the council needs to communicate that with the staff. And I want to kind of get at that relationship, the relationship council has with staff. And I think the solid waste issue sort of brought some of this to light. Here's City Manager David Hales critiquing the council's work process in part and asking aldermen to basically trust the staff on the bulky waste issue and move forward on the proposal that was presented. Here's City Manager Hales.
I think you're very much overanalyzing and overcomplicating this process of coming up with how we're going to charge for the first and the second. We're already charging for the second. So I would just again reiterate that the staff will come up with a process. We already have for the second bucket. We know how to count the second bucket. We've got a process. We're looking to make that process even much more efficient by probably utilizing more technology, things of that nature. And I hate to say too, but again, our role is to come up with the how. Our role is to come up with the technology and the way to be as efficient, effective as we can. And if we can't make it work, we will come back to you with recommendations how to change that. But I would say that I think this motion is just going, well, anyway, I would strongly recommend you not go down that road. Let's give it a try, just like last year when we had the pilot project of going to every other week. Please work with us. I think the recommendation that was brought to you tonight deserves a chance. We can make it work. Please support us.
And despite his pleading, the council tabled that latest proposal. What does that say about council staff relations or council trust of the staff, that they didn't move forward?
Well, of course, David Hales is exactly right, and I support that position 100%. But also, he prefaced that by saying that he wanted to be very careful about what he was going to say, because he did want to support the city council as well, and we certainly want to support them in their efforts.
It's a fine line. He's walking a fine line between working with council and working with staff. He has to sort of bridge that.
Yes, and he and I are the only two people in the city that have been in that position, so I understand very well where he is coming from. I think what it really amounts to is there was a little bit of frustration there on his part, and also kind of on the public's part and on the city council's part, that we would just like to have some kind of a decision one way or the other so we could move forward. And this was a perfectly good thing to try, but the council decided they didn't want to try that, and so, you know, that's okay. We'll go back again and we'll try some other things. What they did do is they appointed three of their members to look at this some more, and they're going to come back and look at it and see maybe they can come up with a solution that will get five votes.
And what's the latest on that? On that three-person commission?
Well, I know that they're asking some questions, and they have been exploring this. I don't know that they've come up with any proposal yet. My suggestion is that we just try some of these things, because if we try them and it doesn't work, it's not forever. We can always say, well, that didn't work. We can turn around and we can try something else. I think the worst decision is prolonged indecision.